Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Son to mediate for us, that we can come to thee in prayer, and that he is our friend. So please help us to consider again about prayer, as we've done many times in our lives, because of how important it is to us, and encourage us in our walk with thee, a walk of prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 25, I'd like to read. Has a number of the concepts that the Westminster Shorter Catechism describes for prayer. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And so as I read this, please keep those points in mind. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. So what components of prayer did you find in here? Remembering that the components are offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Barb? Yes, so looking for the pardon. So he was confessing his sins, wasn't he? Good. Anything else? Jeff?
I don't know that in your list from the catechism, I don't remember that you mentioned sanctification explicitly, but 4 and 5 certainly is an appeal for God to work in the believer to bring greater holiness.
Yeah, so that would fit with offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. Yes, good. Anything else? How about in the name of Christ? We're in the Old Testament here. It's going to be hard to say in the name of Christ, but is there anything that would imply something of that nature? Look in verses 10 and 14, where it mentions the covenant that God has made with his people. And certainly the covenant that God has made with his people is the covenant of grace. And the covenant of grace is between the Father and the Son and all who are in the Son, Jesus Christ. And even though in the Old Testament they didn't have Christ yet, they looked forward to him in this covenant. What were things in the Old Testament, just real quickly, what were things in the Old Testament that pointed the Israelites to Christ and that they depended on him? Barb?
The sacrifices?
Yeah, all the sacrifices. All the ceremonial laws were things that pointed to Christ. This was, Moses was told to build the temple with a pattern of what he saw of the real thing in heaven. So it was a pattern of what things were to come fulfilled in Christ. So when you see covenant here, you're seeing in the name of Christ. He's not depending on his own name. He's depending on what God is going to provide, Jesus Christ. All right? How about with thankful acknowledgement of his mercies? Do you see that in here?
Verse 6.
Okay, can you explain?
Well, here he's asking the Lord to remember his mercy, as steadfast love, which he has shown him before.
So, in other words, he's remembering, he's thanking him for past. I accept that. In verse 5, and I think it's verse 11, it talks about, no, I guess not 11, 21. It talks about waiting for God. When we give thanks to God, we're content in him, aren't we? We're thankful, we're satisfied. And this waiting is an implication of that same contentment. So it's kind of a stretch, but it is, I think, a contentment of something similar to thanksgiving. When we pray, we're to pray believing. Matthew 21:22 says, "In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." What's important about that? What is it that they're believing? What is it that we're to believe? Barb? So what we're asking for in prayer, and if those things are things that are agreeable to God's will, right, like Jeff was saying, our sanctification, that's God's will, our sanctification. So what do we know about our sanctification? Are there promises associated with that? Well, God, throughout the scriptures, are telling us to grow in Christ. And yes, there are promises that if we attend to the Word of God, if we attend to prayer, if we attend to the sacraments, that God is going to cause us to grow. Barb? Yes. He that began a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6, I think it is. I may not have quoted it quite right. But good, yeah, so we're believing in God's promises as we pray these things. We're not just believing out of optimism. This is something that has a firm foundation. God and God's promise. You can't beat that. So when we pray, we've got those things to trust in. The Catechism for Young Children says, prayer is asking God for things which he has promised to give. So we ask because we believe God's promises. In Hebrews 11:6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So we come to God when we pray to him. We come to God because we believe that he is, and we come to God because we believe his rewards, because we believe he rewards those who come to him. Are there any questions on that? Bart? Okay. Yes, standing on the promises of God is a good phrase. Yes. We also pray with knowledge of God and his promises. Obviously, that's an implication of what we're saying. We can't pray believing if we don't have knowledge of his promises. And where do we find those promises? So everyone knows the answer, I think, and no one's willing to raise their hand. It's too obvious. The Word of God. So how often do you all spend time in the Word of God to get to know His promises? Hopefully daily. Did Luke say that? Good for you. Yes. So hopefully daily. And so pray as we read God's Word as well. In 2 Kings 22, I'll just tell you, this is where Josiah the king was. He was a young king, and some of the priests were cleaning out the temple because he wanted to return to the true religion. And they, as they were cleaning out, they found the scriptures. They had lost them in the temple, sadly. And what happened when they read the scriptures? They got to know God's promises, and a revival took place. So we need to know His promises. Daniel was a man of prayer. We see that he prayed three times a day, so it was a continual practice that he did. And in, I think this is Daniel 9, 2 through 3. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of God through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. You see what a wonderful example that is in just two verses? He was reading Jeremiah, and he knew what to pray for because of what God had said. So, as we meet with God to read His Word daily, it becomes a habit, a good habit. Obviously, not all habits are good, but reading God's Word every day is a great habit. Praying each day is a great habit. And combining the Word of God with prayer is a great habit. I had a minister once preach a sermon on this topic, if I remember correctly, he was putting together the concepts that Martin Luther had put together on this. And he formed the word lamp. L stood for learn. So you read God's word and you learn. A stood for adore, adoring God. As you read it, you're learning about God and you're praising Him. Also, as you read it, you recognize where you fail. So the M stands for mourning over our sins. We normally say confession of our sins. And the P stands for petition, praying. I think what's missing here is Thanksgiving. I don't want to lose sight of Thanksgiving. I think Thanksgiving is so important in prayer. It's so important in our lives. If you're thankful to God, it's hard to sin, isn't it? If you're praying thanksgiving to God, it's hard to sin. So always be of a mind of thanksgiving is my exhortation here. I think we're probably all familiar with the word acts. What do the four letters of acts stand for? Yep. Yes, very good. And what is supplication? Yeah, asking. So it's like the petitions. Right. Very good. And we are to pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And if you're wondering, I am skipping some verses to make sure we get through in time. But they're hopefully somewhat repetitious. But 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It just says simply, pray without ceasing. The church should not cease praying. We as individuals should not cease praying. I do think that the chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians is addressing the church. When you see the pronouns in the King James, it's you, which suggests the plurality. It's not saying thee or thou, which would suggest individuals. But that doesn't mean we as individuals shouldn't pray continually. We should. And it's helpful. Are you able to go to work and concentrate on your work and pray? Chris is wondering. That's a good answer. I don't know.
I think it depends on the prayer.
Okay. Explain.
Well, if you have a well, taking a step back, I remember in the business world, there used to be a big emphasis on multitasking. Until people figured out the vast majority of human beings can't really multitask well. And we could argue men in particular, with, that's as far as I'll go there.
Yeah, let's yeah, head on from
anyway,
there.
But the point is that if we have something deep or significant to pray to the Lord about, then by necessity it's going to distract us from other things that are going on. However, I mean, even at work, if I'm having struggle, I'm trying to work through a problem, I might say, Lord, I really need help. Please help me with this and give me clarity. That's not really distracting from me from my work. That's helping me in my work.
Yeah, I think that's a very good answer. When we're working, we want to ask God to help us perform the work to glorify Him. And that may mean solving a problem and asking Him for help doing that. Yes. So very good. And we can pray with God's Word as a model. If you would, please turn to 1 Kings 8. And as you turn there, this is King Solomon. And the whole chapter is talking about the temple having been built and Solomon bringing Israel, particularly the leaders of Israel, together to dedicate the temple. And Solomon had mentioned in this background about the covenant God made with David, his father, and how the mediation would be, well, the rulership would be fulfilled through his son. Ultimately, that's Jesus Christ. But there's this sense, obviously, with Solomon, the next generation, where he's presenting the temple with all the glory of Christ's mediation. His redemption of his people being displayed. And we see he also represented this promise. So he knew the promise that God had given to his father David. And that's what brings out his prayer that begins in verse 12. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. He said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who spoke with his mouth to my father David and with his hand has fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house that my name might be there. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. I'm going to jump to verse 25. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, You shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, My name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. See, he recognized when people are going to pray toward the temple, they're recognizing their own sins. And so they're praying, and he's expecting God to forgive them. And why does he expect God to forgive them when they're looking to God's name with the temple? What's in the temple? We already said it. Yeah, all the things about the gospel, all the things that point to Jesus Christ are in the temple. And so they're looking for this forgiveness that God is providing through his son, Jesus Christ, down the road, but providing them. And so what do we have for ourselves? Can we do the same thing? Barb? And we look back. Yes. And can we know that God will forgive us? How do we know that God will forgive us? He's promised to. And where has he promised to? Okay, that's one place. 1 John 1:9. And numerous other places. He's promised it to us. And so we can look to Christ for forgiveness. And in fact, we see it depicted with our senses each week when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Because the Lord's Supper is looking at what Christ did as well as getting us to look ahead. And it's a wonderful thing that we can come to God looking for forgiveness and know that we'll have it. That doesn't mean we take advantage of it. Sadly, we do from time to time we sin, but it's not saying that we should take advantage of it. On the contrary, we want to obey him. And also, I want to point out that the Lord's Prayer is a model for us to follow. We see in the Lord's Prayer. Do any of your kids know the Lord's Prayer? Would they like to recite it for us? They don't have to. I don't want to put them on the spot, but I don't want to leave them out either. Okay. All right. Well, we know the Lord's Prayer. These are all the things that we should be praying for ourselves. We may not follow it every petition all the time, but it is a good model for us. We're praying. We're recognizing who God is. We want his name to be hallowed. We want his kingdom to increase. And as we think about his kingdom, we're thinking about the church. And what are we praying for when we pray for the church? That it would expand. And how does it expand?
By preaching the gospel.
So we're praying for the ministers. We're praying for the missionaries. We're praying for ourselves to ask people to come to church or to point them to a gospel tract or to tell them even if we can and have opportunity. Wenzel Days was great for that, by the way. And hopefully in the summer, we'll have Lincoln County Fair as well. And then I want to point out that we pray to God as our Father. The Lord's Prayer begins. Oh, I didn't finish the petitions, did I? Sorry. So where was I? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're praying, really, that we would want to obey God. And we grow in that, don't we? We want to obey God as the angels do in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. We're asking God to work hard, to give us industry so that we can earn a living. We're also asking God to provide for us. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Interesting there, isn't it, that our Lord Jesus Christ put it that way. Like we ask God to forgive us our debts the way we forgive. Typically, we think in terms of we love because God first loved us. So why shouldn't we say we'll forgive because you first forgave us? Why is it that Christ put it the way he did, you know? Okay, well, I'll just... Do you want to try it? Yeah, well, I think what he's really suggesting here, based on the context, is that we are really forgiving because God forgave us first. But because we're forgiving, we're also encouraged to seek God to forgive us more. Look at the context for that. And then, of course, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The conclusion, too, is important because we're relying on who God is. We're not relying on who we are. And then with the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, our Father, I think it's important for us to recognize that He is our Father. Are we coming to God in prayer because God is our maker? Like sometimes people think in terms of God being our Father because He's our maker. Are we coming to Him in prayer because of that? I would say no. I say we're coming to God in prayer because He adopted us as His children. We say that He adopts us as His children. I don't have time to get into all the verses here. But I think you can look at 1 John 2, 20, near the end of 1 John 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. And you can go to Romans 8. But see the adoption of God's children. We are adopted when we're justified. And so He cares for us as a father cares for his children. And so we're going to Him as our Father because He's provided redemption for us. He's provided Jesus Christ to mediate for us. And so we pray believing. We pray with knowledge of God and His promises. We pray as we read God's Word. We pray continually. We pray with God's Word as a model. And we pray to our good and all-powerful Father. Are there any questions? I hope this encourages us to pray, but let's close with hymn 353.